Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
The outreach pastors a few weeks ago, and I'm just so thankful that God has allowed us to do kingdom work together. They're amazing people. I love them. And I just want to honor Pastor Jay Hazelip, one of our board of directors, is here with us this morning on the front row. Pastor Jay, it's so good to have you and see you. I didn't know he was coming this morning. He snuck in on us, and it's so good to see you. I honor you and your voice in this house and in my life, and I just appreciate everything that you do. He pastors an amazing church out in Costa Mesa, California. Is it in Costa Mesa? And I've gotten the privilege to be out there multiple times and see what God is doing, and they never shut down really during COVID, did you? I mean, in California, I mean, come on, somebody, that is just radical, awesome stuff. And I thank God for generals like him that would stand fast in the face of adversity and have the courage to continue to preach the gospel and open the doors of the church. And I salute you and honor you, and thank you for being here and everything that you do for the kingdom of God. If you have your Bible, would you go ahead and stand to your feet and begin to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. We always stand for the main text reading of the Word of God just to show honor to the Scripture. We do believe that the Scripture is true. It's infallible. It's the complete Word of God. And if there's something in your life that you don't know what to do, I can promise you there is an answer in the Word of God. If you will open up the Bible and say, God, speak to me, I can promise you that He will direct your path. He will light the way. He will show you exactly what you need to do. There is nothing that God cannot help you through. There's nothing that God cannot help you get into. If there's something, if there's a door that feels closed, you just need to keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking, as we talked about a few weeks ago. But the Word of God is full of promises and answers, and the only key to getting those answers is opening up the book and reading it and applying it, not just being a hearer, but a doer of the Word of God. So let's look at His Word today. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. We're going to read this passage twice because it is a short text that we have today. It's nothing like last week when we read like 30 verses. So Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It says this: a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Let's read that one more time. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I thank you for your word, which is true. We look to it today. God, we don't want to preach philosophies or ideologies, but we want the truth to be revealed in our hearts and in our minds so that our community can be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ through using us as the hands and feet of Jesus and empowering us by the Holy Spirit. So I pray that as we are in this place this morning, that we would be empowered, not impressed, but empowered by the word of God, by the power of God, and by the transforming ability that you give us through your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would anoint me to teach it today with conviction, with authority, with clarity, so that every heart can leave here full and fed in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you once again for being here. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Last week, if you were not with us, I spoke on the downfall of discouragement and the trap of discouragement in our life. And I think we don't realize a lot of times that discouragement is a highway to many other things that can trip us up and hold us back from who God has called us to be, what He has called us to walk in, the destiny that He has placed in our life. And I don't do this often, but if you were not here last week, I would highly encourage you to go listen to that word, because discouragement seems to be such a small thing because it is so normal and it is so relevant in our lives. Everywhere that we turn and look, it seems like discouragement is bombarding our life. And we have to know, as the body of Christ, as the temple of the Holy Ghost, how to protect ourselves from discouragement. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. If we're allowing discouragement to get into the well of our soul, it will eventually poison and pollute everything inside of us. And if poison is inside of us, then poison is going to come out of us, and we're going to begin to pollute our family members and our friends and our coworkers. But if we protect what is coming in and we make sure we're feeding ourselves with the Word of God and we're feeding ourselves with faith and we're listening to the taught Word of God and we're praying and we're worshiping and we're keeping ourselves in His presence, then we're going to be filled up with rivers of living water and only life is going to come out of us. But today, I want to continue talking about the topic of discouragement. And last week we talked about protecting yourself from discouragement and how discouragement kept the children of Israel from accessing the promised land that God had provided. He said, I'll drive every enemy out. It'll be flowing with milk and with honey. He said, you can go in, you can possess the land, only do not fear and do not be discouraged. Well, they didn't catch that very last part, obviously, because as they sent spies into the promised land and they came back with a bad report, they said, our brethren have discouraged our hearts. And because of that, only Joshua and Caleb, who kept the good report of the Lord in their mouth and on their heart, only they got to access the promise. So we have to realize discouragement can keep us from walking in the will and the promises of God. And it will keep us, it's a trap of the enemy because it pulls us away. It has a negative pull away from the promises of God. And Jesus told us this. He said, in this life, you will have tribulation. It will get bad. It will get difficult. You will have problems, but be of good cheer because he promised us, I have overcome the world. And that is the responsibility of that each of us have in our life, and that God will help us as we walk with him to protect ourselves from discouragement. But today, I want to talk about another responsibility, because you not only have the responsibility to protect yourself from discouragement, but you also have a responsibility to help each other not become discouraged. That's why the Bible says that woe to him who when he walk the one that walks alone, because when he falls down, he has no one to reach their hand down and pick them back up again. Because your spouse is going to get discouraged. Your coworkers are going to get discouraged. Your family members, your friends, the people that you socialize with and you know, they're going to get discouraged. And it's our job and our responsibility to be that reaching hand out that would pull them back up and not allow them to wallow in the pits of despair, because we realize that discouragement is just an entryway to things that will pull us back from what God has for us. But so often we think that it's trivial. Oh, I'm just a little discouraged today. If you do not understand the downfall and the severity of discouragement, you will end somewhere much worse. And my title for today is The Antidote. If you're taking notes, you can write that today. My title is The Antidote, because I believe that God has given to us the antidote for discouragement. An antidote, defined by the dictionary, is defined as such. It's a medicine taken or given to counteract a particular poison. It's a medicine that they will give you, and we also have what is called anti-venom, that as if a snake bite happens and you are attacked by a snake and venom is put into your body, they have developed, and it has remained essentially unchanged since it was developed in the 1890s, anti-venom. Do you know how anti-venom is made and is produced? Venom is harvested from the snake, it is milked out of the snake, and then it is put into a sheep or a goat or a horse that have much stronger antibodies than we do, and that animal begins to break down that venom, and then they harvest the blood, purify the blood, and then they put it into the snake bit victim. You know what that makes me think about? That makes me think about the sin that came and infested the life of every single person, because everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's a venom, it's a poison in our life, but God sent the pure, spotless Lamb of God to come and take on the sins of the world, and that blood was transferred to you and to me as an anti-venom to keep us from the poison that sin is in our life. But I also believe that discouragement is a poison in our life. Another definition of an antidote is the substance that can counteract a form of poison. It's a substance. It's something that has a substance to it. And as the text we read earlier says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. What is an antidote? It is the medicine that is taken or given to counteract a particular poison. I want you to know today, you have the antidote, you have the medicine that can counteract discouragement that is bombarding your life and the life of people that are around you. Have you ever noticed, though, as we say, a merry heart does good like a medicine? We love to quote that to people that are discouraged. But have you ever noticed it's really hard to have a merry heart when you have a sad heart? Yeah. It's really hard to be happy when you're depressed. It's really difficult to have high spirits when you've had a really rough week. And so often we want to look at someone that's discouraged, depressed, anxious, full of heartache, full of sadness, and say, hey man, merry heart does good like a medicine. That's easier said than done. And I truly believe that this scripture is actually telling us that our merry heart can be a medicine to those whose spirits are broken. That better be Jesus, Pastor Jeff. I'm just kidding. Our merry heart can be a medicine that counteracts the poison of discouragement. If you notice the amount of smiles that you see are less and less and less, seems like more people, in fact, if you look it up statistically, depression and suicide are at an all-time high. Anxiety is at an all-time high. The amount of antidepressant pills that are administered on a daily basis is at record-breaking levels because a merry heart does good like a medicine. But we, I believe, as the church have not fulfilled our responsibility of keeping ourselves out of discouragement, because how are we going to help someone else out of discouragement if we're not protecting ourselves from the downfall of discouragement? So that's why we started last week with talking about protecting ourselves, and the way that we do that is building our life on the solid foundation, because the rain's going to come, the wind's going to come, the storms are going to come, but as long as we're standing on the rock that we sang about earlier, we will not be shaken, we will not be moved. And as we protect ourselves from discouragement, now we have a responsibility to help people get out of discouragement themselves. And that's where we are as brothers and sisters. That's where we as brothers and sisters in Christ come in, is that we have the opportunity to be the merry heart that does good like a medicine. That's where we as a loving spouse, as a caring parent, as a devoted friend, as a co-worker that has the love of Christ for somebody else, we come in and we realize that you may have a broken spirit. You may have be going through a difficult time, but I'm going to lend my merry heart to you and let it be a healing balm that touches your heart and administers healing and freedom and deliverance from the discouragement that the enemy has bound you in. But we are able to supply what people don't have. Do you realize that inside of you, if Jesus Christ has changed you, has saved you, has redeemed you, and the Holy Ghost is living inside of you, you have the answer to every problem that you or anyone else will face, because in him there is nothing that is impossible. We have the answer. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you had a broken, discouraged, desperate heart, would you not want someone with a merry heart to come alongside and extend to you the kindness and the love of giving you the antidote? If you were poisoned by something, let's say, God forbid, today you went to the China buffet and you begin to eat the sushi that they put out. I mean, what is a Chinese place doing serving sushi anyways? And you go to the China buffet right down the road and you begin, no shame, no guilt, I've eaten there before. But you go there and you begin to consume all of this food off the buffet. And God forbid, you get food poisoning, right? It happens to everybody. Now, let's say that somehow there was an antidote for food poisoning and your spouse had it and you are at the worst place that you can possibly imagine, because when you get food poisoning, you begin to confess every sin in your life and you begin to pray in tongues and just, I cast this out in the name of Jesus. Well, could you imagine if your spouse had an antidote for food poisoning and refused to give it to you and administer it to you and just sat there and watched you suffer? Realize the world is suffering. The world is hurting, the world is broken, and we have an antidote that oftentimes we refuse to administer to people in order to bring about healing in their life. Your friendship, your love, and your care can counteract the venom of the enemy that desires to cripple and defect the destiny of your friends and your family. Your merry heart is the medicine that they need. that needs to be administered so that they are not overcome by sorrow and heartache that comes from the accuser of the brethren. Listen, they don't need somebody else accusing them. The devil's already doing it. What they need is someone that will come alongside and give them a hand, give them help, because your words are either someone's medicine or someone's poison, someone's healing or someone's hurt. Life and death, the book of Proverbs chapter 18 says, are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that we may not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. How often does it tell us to encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ? Every day. Every single day, find someone to encourage. Every single day, find a way to pour that encouragement into your spouse, into your children, into your coworkers, into your friends, into your neighbors. I want to challenge you this week to make it a point in your life. Set a reminder on your phone. Write it on your calendar. Do whatever you need to do, but encourage someone every single day this week. Send a text. Make a phone call. Post on their Facebook. Send them an email. Mail them a postcard in the mail if that's what you got to do. But find a way to encourage people this week, because it's simple, but this is the truth. The antidote for discouragement is encouragement. If you want to know, how do I help someone that's discouraged? You encourage them. That's what Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He said, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Some translations say, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, except for that which is necessary. Listen to that word, necessary, for edification or encouragement, that it would impart grace to the hearer. He's saying, let everything that comes out of your mouth be an encouraging word. Don't let it be corrupt. Don't let it be vile. Don't let it be unwholesome. Let it be something that is going to impart grace and bring about change in people's lives. Now, last week we broke down the word discouragement. If you weren't here, I'm going to do it very quickly. There's a prefix, there's a base word, and there's a suffix. The prefix would be dis, the base word would be courage, and the suffix would be mit. And the prefix dis means a negative pull away from. Courage is the base word. It means the ability to have strength in the face of adversity or to do something that scares you. And the suffix mint means bringing about a concrete result. So what that means is when someone, and we're all trying to fight the fight of faith, we're all trying to get closer to who God has called us to be, we're all trying to walk after him and fulfill the destiny and the call that's on our life, because nobody wants to be a failure. Everybody wants to succeed. Everybody wants to grow and get better, and I believe that's what we're all after. So when we are sowing discouragement, we're being used by the enemy as a negative pull away from who God is calling that person to be. When we sow seeds of discouragement and we speak words that are condemning and bringing people down, we are a negative pull away, bringing a concrete result to pull people away from the courage that they need to face the adversity that is in their life. Now, let's do the same with encouragement, because if encouragement is the antidote for discouragement, then we realize we don't want to be a negative pull away from. We want to push people towards who God has called them to be. So the prefix of in, this is so good. If encouragement, the prefix is this: to put in or onto, to cover or to enshroud, to provide or empower. I didn't realize what those two little letters put together, E and N, could actually mean. That little prefix means to pour into, to cover, to enshroud, to provide and empower. What's the base word? Courage. When you are encouraging someone, you are providing them with the strength that they need to face the adversity that is in their life. You are fighting against fear and putting faith into somebody, onto somebody, enshrouding them and covering them with the ability to do the thing that scares them to death. And the suffix is the same. Bringing about a concrete result. So instead of a concrete result of somebody being stagnant and pulled away from the call of God that is on their life, when you speak encouragement, you are cheering them on. You're helping them get closer to who God has called them to be. And so I want to be somebody that all of my words are pushing people towards who God has called them to be. I want to be somebody that I'm pouring into people courage. I'm filling them with what it is that they're lacking. If I could give you a picture today of two glasses of water, And there was one that they were both courage. Discouragement would be like taking a syringe and sucking all of the courage out of one glass. But there was another glass that was empty of courage. And encouragement would be like pouring and filling that glass up with the courage that was needed. Do you realize that that's what your words are doing? They're either stealing courage or imparting courage when you speak to your children. They're either stealing courage or imparting courage into your coworkers, into your spouse. And I believe that we need to be used by God as the antidote for discouragement to pour courage into this world. So when we're speaking words of encouragement, we're putting in, we're covering, we're empowering others with the ability to do what frightens them or to have the strength in the face of adversity, bringing about a concreted result. Listen, realize this. There is power in your words. So be an encourager. It doesn't take any talent to encourage somebody. It doesn't take a PhD. It doesn't take even a massive amount of knowledge of the Bible, even though that's good and that's great. But I think a lot of people keep themselves from encouraging people because they think, well, what if I don't say the right thing? What if I don't do it right? What if I mess up and I don't say what I'm supposed to say, how I'm supposed to say it? Let me help you on that. If your heart's right, if your desire is to help, you'll say it right. If your heart is to empower someone and not impress someone, you'll do it the right way. If your heart is to help them and not to hurt them, you'll do it the right way. If your heart is to pour into them and not take away from them, then you'll do it the right way. And then trust me, you won't have to worry about what to say. But let me warn you of the dangers of not encouraging someone. Because you may say, well, I don't discourage anyone, so that makes me good. I don't say bad things. I don't put people down. But the book of James is very clear when it says, for him that knows to do right but does wrong, to him it is sin. So if we know that it's right to encourage and we don't do it, it's still sin. To miss the mark. That word means an offense. How many times have we committed offense because we knew it was the right thing to do, to bring the antidote of discouragement into a conversation, but we let fear get in the way? We let our own discouragement, we let our own fear, our own anxiety get in the way of pouring into others. But remember this, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Sometimes we think, I can't sow encouragement because I'm so discouraged. But if you will sow encouragement, God will begin to fill you up because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And God is not mocked. So don't miss the mark by knowing what is right and refusing to do it. I know it's right to encourage, but I'm kind of scared. What if I say it wrong? What if they think I'm a weirdo? Don't worry about how they're going to take it. You focus on your responsibility that you have to sow encouragement into the people that are around you. Now let's look back at this scripture in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17, or 17:22, excuse me. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Okay, we've covered that. But now what about the second part? But a broken spirit dries the bones. I want to break down what each of those words mean because they have greater depth and meaning than what we would just see at surface level. The word broken, a broken spirit, means wounded. And as we look around the world, it's clear to see that many people have been wounded by discouragement, by abuse, by what has been said to them, what has not been said to them. And we have to realize that if they're wounded, there is need of help in their life. Maybe you're wounded today. I hope that today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God will use what I'm saying to help bring a mending result in your life. But a broken, a wounded spirit, that word spirit, literally, you can't make this up. Yes, it means breath and mind. But if you go deeper, that word spirit in the Hebrew means courage. Can't make this up. I didn't find this and then build this around it. I literally went to this and God began to show me and reveal to me and I began to look this up and we're literally talking about discouragement, encouragement, the ability to do something in the face of adversity or something that scares you. And the scripture literally says a wounded courage. Then it says dries. That word dries means to wither away. Something that was once flourishing, fresh, bountiful, beautiful, has just withered away to nothing. Maybe you've seen that in your life. Maybe you've seen it in a friend's life that they once were flourishing. They were going after God. They were passionate about Him. They loved life. They were everything was just awesome and beautiful. But over time, because they got wounded, and they were sown discouragement instead of encouragement. Maybe they didn't protect themselves. Maybe someone was pouring it into them. All of a sudden, they've become wounded. They've lost their courage, and they've withered away from who they once were to now they're just a crust of the man or woman that they once used to be. But then it says, a broken spirit dries, withers away the bones. That word bones in the Hebrew means strength. So it could literally be translated like this. Wounded courage withers away one's strength. When someone's been broken by the words that have been said, when someone's been broken by heartache, and listen, we're all going to have heartache and discouragement come our way. No one is exempt from it. The man that built his house on the rock and the man that built his house on the sand both endured the storm. But the difference was the solid foundation. But a wounded courage withers away at a person's strength. So many people, church, have been wounded in their spirit. That's one reason that this church exists as the well, is to invigorate and to replenish and to restore in people's souls. I believe that as people come into this place, hopefully they leave with a fresh drink of water and a touch of the Holy Spirit. But so many people have been wounded by what has been said or not said to them. And so many people have been robbed of courage and the ability to think right in their mind. Because listen, that word spirit doesn't just mean courage, it also means mind. And some people's mind is messed up, not because they're sick, but because they have been robbed of courage and strength time and time again by being beaten down and broken by words. People used to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That is the biggest lie that you could ever possibly believe. Life and death do lie in the power of the tongue. But we have the medicine. We have the remedy. We have the ability to fix what has been broken and to mend what has been wounded, because no one is exempt from discouragement, so no one is without the need of encouragement. Sometimes we look at people and we go, they don't need to be encouraged. They're doing just fine. Everyone needs to be encouraged. Everyone, and we oftentimes, we think that encouragement, it's not spiritual enough, man. I want to prophesy. Do you realize that 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says that he who prophesies speaks edification and comfort and exhortation to all men? It is spiritual to encourage one another. And it's not just fixing what is wrong. It's protecting from what could go wrong. And also, I want to begin to close with this. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul addresses an issue within the body of Christ. There's a member of the church that, the Bible doesn't tell us what this guy did, but the dude messed up bad, okay? So much so that Paul isn't even there and he's heard about this guy. Everybody's mad. They've excommunicated him from the church. They're treating him, with disdain. They've shunned him away. And the Apostle Paul was a reconciler, because the Bible tells us, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers, peacemakers. If you look at the book of Philemon, it is entirely the Apostle Paul trying to reconcile two people that are at odds with one another. But if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, picking up in verse 5, here's what Paul says. I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, listen to this. It is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. Discouragement will ruin your life. And we have got to see it for the enemy that it is. We can't belittle it and think, oh, it's no big deal. It's just a little bit of discouragement. He says, otherwise he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now, here's what the apostle says, how to fix it. Reaffirm your love for him. I wrote to you as I did to test and see if you would fully comply with my instructions. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. He says, it's time, church. This man that has wronged you, that has spread poison about the church, it's time to forgive and comfort him. You know what that word comfort means? Encourage. Go look it up in the Greek. It literally means it's time, church, to encourage him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. That word overcome means destroyed. If you don't encourage him, you don't forgive him, you don't comfort him, you don't come alongside him, he will be destroyed by discouragement that comes from the enemy. And so that's why I'm telling you to reaffirm your love for him. Do you realize that your encouragement, your merry heart, your joy, your words can be used to rescue someone from being destroyed? Do you realize that your encouragement is a roadblock to anxiety, which anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression? Your encouragement is a roadblock to suicide. It's a roadblock to addiction. It's a roadblock to divorce. It's a roadblock to just giving up and quitting and letting everything go in life. Your words can be used as you reaffirm love for people and you encourage them, not just everybody who's doing everything right to you. Remember who Paul is writing about. Not the best Christian in the church, but the worst Christian in the church. He didn't say, hey, that greeter that he's there every single Sunday morning, his hands are always lifted, he tithes every single week, make sure you encourage that guy because that guy needs some encouragement. He's doing a great job. He said, no, the guy that brought all the pain and the heartache and the problems in the church, I want you to go find him and I want you to restore him. I want you to comfort him. I want you to encourage him. I want you to speak life in him. I want you to reaffirm to him the fact that you love him even though he did you wrong. Because if not, he's going to be destroyed by the discouragement that comes from the enemy. Your words, your actions, the way you reach out to people can be a roadblock against the destruction that will come through discouragement. Paul was instructing this church to encourage and to forgive. And I want to encourage you this week, be a person that forgives. Listen, you haven't batted 1,000 since you got saved. You haven't been perfect. None of us have. And so we need to make sure that we encourage one another, because if we don't, our brothers and sisters in Christ are open to discouragement that will bring about destruction. But I want you to know this today. Discouragement will keep you from the dominion that God has placed and put in your life and in your mouth. You are not called to be weak. You're not called to be the tail. You're called to be the head. But when we walk in discouragement, it reduces the dominion that we have in Christ Jesus. Because we're not looking at who he's called us to be, how he's called us to be. We're not living according to his word. We're allowing discouragement to keep us from those promises that he said, if you bind it, I'll bind it. If you loose it, I'll loose it. And I want you to know that discouragement will keep us from walking in dominion. And he has said to us that every place that the sole of our feet treads, it's supposed to be taken as ground for the kingdom of God. He said, if you put your hand to the plow, don't look back, because if you do, you're not fit for the kingdom. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is advancing by force, and the forceful lay hold of it. We're called to walk in dominion, but we don't realize that something as small, what would seem menial as discouragement. Do you realize that the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vines? There are some people that were called, destined, appointed to do great things for God, and one statement of discouragement from a parent, from a teacher, from a friend, they said something and it robbed them of walking in the destiny that God has for them. Don't be a destiny stealer. Don't be somebody that robs people. Be someone that sows into their destiny. Be someone that says, I believe that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. You know what? I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to believe for you. You are going to see people get saved on your job. You are going to be an evangelist. You are going to preach the gospel. You are going to change the world. You are going to be blessed in your business and be able to sow into the kingdom of God. Encourage people. Don't rob them of their destiny. Sow into their destiny. So be somebody that's an encourager, not someone that has a negative pull away from, but someone that if somebody's struggling to make it up a hill, get behind them and push. and begin to say, come on, you can make it. I'm right here behind you. I believe in you. You're going to get to the top. You're going to see everything that God has for you. And trust me, if you, but the problem is we begin to think, well, if I'm pushing them, who's pushing me? Yeah. Don't worry about it. You push them, and God will send people along to push you too. Because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We need to reaffirm and encourage one another. Take that challenge this week. Encourage people. Be somebody that speaks prophecies into people's life to edify, exhort them, encourage them, comfort them. Really, if you look at he who speaks prophecy, speaks edification, comfort, exhortation, if you remember the word comfort in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 means to encourage, really he's saying he who prophesies encourages, encourages, encourages. Edifies, exhorts, and comforts. It all, if you break it down, really just means to build up and to encourage. It's so much more spiritual than we think it is. And it's not just for the church. It's to be used in the world. It's to be used on your job. It's to be used in your school. It's to be used in the grocery store. Be someone who sows into destinies by speaking by the Spirit of God words of encouragement and affirmation into others. Amen. Stand to your feet with me today. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. If you would, Brandon, or Shelly, just put on a ministry track for a moment, because I want to give people the opportunity today, if you need to come to the altar. Maybe the Holy Spirit has begun to convict you of the fact that you haven't been administering antidote with your words, but you've been administering poison. Maybe you've been speaking down to your children. Maybe you've been discouraging your spouse. Maybe, I feel like there's someone here today, your spouse has a dream and a hope and a plan that God has put in their life, and you've been discouraging them from that. And today the Lord's giving you the opportunity to fix it, because God wants to use them in a mighty and a powerful way. And you don't want to be the one who puts yourself as an enemy of God. So right now, just begin to repent. If you want to come to the altar's open. Remember, we say here that coming to the altar doesn't mean that something's wrong. It means something's getting right. Means that God's changing something. Means that you're giving yourself to him as a living sacrifice, saying, God, in fact, if you're just saying, I want to be an encourager, would you join me in the altar today? If you're just saying, I want to make that commitment. I want to sow with words. I want to get behind people and push. I want to speak into their destiny. I want to call them to go further and beyond where they ever thought that they could go before. So just begin to raise your hands and just begin to say, God, if you can use anybody, use me to encourage my brothers and sisters, to encourage total strangers on the street, God. I pray that you would reveal to me if there's anyone that I've discouraged that I need to make right, God, and I need to have the negative pull away from what I've said, what I've done, and put into them courage and strength and the Spirit of God and wholeness and victory. God, I pray that you would fix the things that we ourselves have broken, God. And I pray that you would mend the spirits, God. Let us have a merry heart. I just pray for a baptism of a merry heart upon us, God, that we would carry joy, that we would carry peace, that we would carry the hope of God when we walk into the grocery store or into the gas station, God, and everybody else is discouraged because they're paying $5 a gallon for gas, but we've got joy. And we've got hope, and we've got peace, and we've got love, and we've got encouragement. And it begins to bring transformation, even in a place that doesn't seem like it would be somewhere that people's lives would be changed. God, I pray that our words would open up windows to pour out your Spirit and salvation. God, I pray that you would move us into a place where we don't have to beg people to get saved, but people are begging us to get saved because they want to know, where's the joy? Where's the hope? Where's the peace? Where's the life? Where's the blessing? How'd you find it? Because whatever you got, I need it. And God, I pray that we would be like lights that would shine for you, because a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So I pray over your church today, God. I pray that you would anoint us to prophesy, to speak edification, comfort, and exhortation to all men. God, let no unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, only that which is necessary for edification, that it would impart grace to the hearer. God, let us administer the medicine, the healing balm that comes from you. Let your words be upon our lips. And I pray for your people today that we would encourage, that we would urge on, we would exhort, we would comfort with our words, God. I pray against the fear and the anxiety that would keep us from speaking the truth of the word of God of encouragement into other people's lives. Lord, I pray that as people sit across desks from people, or across dining room tables, and they get that urge inside of their spirit to encourage, I rebuke the fear of the enemy in Jesus' name. And I pray that they themselves would have the courage to impart courage into somebody else. I thank you that you have called us to be people that build up and not tear down. God, let us be the repairer of the breach. Let us stand in the gap, God. If there's a child that we know that's being abused, or there's a spouse that's being abused, God, let us pour in the antidote where someone else is pouring in the poison, God. And I thank you that some of you are worried, well, if they're still in that situation, it's still a problem, it's still an issue. Trust me, the words of God are stronger than the words of the enemy. The words of blessing and the words of life are greater than the words of death. And God, I pray that you would help us to pour into those that are around us life and hope and peace in the midst of a generation and a culture that is constantly spewing about poison and death. Thank you for the antidote, God. Thank you for the words from heaven. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, when they bring you before the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, he said, don't worry about what to say. In that very moment, the Holy Spirit will show you what it is that you ought to say. So Holy Spirit, show us and lead us. Forgive us for where we've been a discouragement, and help us and empower us to be an encouragement. We love you and we praise you today, God. We honor you. Now, would you just lift your hands and receive this blessing today? May the Lord bless you. May he keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he speak through you the words of life. Blessings and curses ought not to flow out of the same mouth. And may your mouth be used to speak life to every single person that you get the opportunity to speak to. May the Lord anoint you, protect you, and keep you in all that you do. And may you be an encourager. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. It's so good to have you today. Love you. Why don't you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise? It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope to see you guys Friday night at the night of ministry at the facility at 6 p.m. It's going to be an awesome time in the presence of the Lord. And Pastor Jay, it's so good to have you with us here today. We love you. Amen. Be blessed.